Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur continues from the top line of Daf Dalid. I mention the word continues because we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion. In our last shiur, we introduced the issue of Baal Ta'acher Dinazirus. Where do you have such a phenomenon? The Isur of Baal Ta'acher has to do with the Isur of delaying the fulfillment of a vow. In this case, we're focusing on the specific vow of Nazirus, the abstention from wine, from grape vine products, and all that that entails. So we're continuing with our topic. Rav Acho Bar Yankiv Omar Kigon De Nozar V'hu Beveis HaKvoros. We're talking about a person that accepted upon himself Nazirus while standing in a cemetery. Now, it should be noted that a Nazir is forbidden to defile himself to the dead. The dead, including standing above graves within a cemetery. So, when he accepts upon himself Nazirus while in a cemetery, we're describing that as a form of delaying Nazirus. Now, we have to explain that. Ho nicha l'man d'omar lo chaylo ole nazirus me'alter. That explanation will be effective according to the opinion that says that a person who accepts nazirus while in a state of defilement to the dead, tumas meis, so the nazirus doesn't take hold immediately. It doesn't set in immediately, so we can say, okay, he has to wait till the defilement period passes, and then accept Nazirus. So there could be an element of delay involved. However, Ella Lamandomar may alter Chaylo Ole, but according to the opinion that says that Nazirus sets in immediately, granted there's a violation of defilement, but the Nazirus sets upon him, obligates him immediately, mi iko baal ta'acher, where is there an element of delay? The oid, and furthermore, ho'omar mor baravashi chaylo Nazirus ole may alter the chi pligi Linyan Malkis Pligi. Furthermore, according to Mar Baravashi, there isn't any controversy regarding the immediacy of the Nazirus. Everyone will agree that the Nazirus sets in immediately upon his vowing thusly. The only machlokis is there Malkos? Is there a lashing punishment for accepting Nazirus while in a state of defilement? So at this point, then, we're still left with a question, according to Rav Acho Bar Yankiv, where do you see the element of delay? The Gemara answers, Afilu hachi, even so, even if you say that the Nazirus sets in immediately, Komle b'baal ta'acher, there is an element of delay, Mishum de'koma acher Nazirus de'taro. He is delaying the observing of Nazirus in the proper, pure state. So though Nazirus sets in immediately, he is not observing Nazirus in a state of Tara, of purity. And that represents Baal Ta'acher of Nazirus. Rashi, on the first of the narrow lines, they call Me'acher le'Nazirus de Tara, La alter miboya le lemepak chutz mibeis hakvoros ula minzar nazirus se betara. What this person is obligated to do is to immediately exit the cemetery and accept upon himself nazirus that he would observe in a state of tahara, in the state of purity. And any delay in doing thusly represents Baal Ta'akhir of Nazirus. Omar Rav Ashi, Hoyol V'chein, because of this, we take a look at the Rashi. There's a, on the third narrow line, V'chein Nozir Ba'almo Shetime Atzmo B'mezid, a nozir in general that willingly defiles himself, afagav de mechalul nazirus, even though he is desecrating his nazirus, kom leg v'bal ta'achir de nazirus etara, with the idea that we've mentioned, we're discovering a new concept, and that is he is delaying the observing of nazirus in a state of purity. So we continue in the Gemara with Rav Ashi's point. Since we introduced this comment, a nozir shetime atzma mezit oiver mishum ba ta'acher de nazirus de tahara. Rav Acho brei de Rav Ika Omar over the ba ta'acher tiglochosoi. The idea of delay in the context of ba ta'acher has to do with the delay of the haircut that a nozir must take at the conclusion of his nazirus, and any delay in that haircut constitutes baal ta'achir. V'lo mibayo lemadomar tiglachas me'akeves. This point goes without saying that there is a violation of delay, according to the opinion that says that the haircut that a nozir must take at the conclusion is a binding factor with regard to the sacrifices that a nozir brings at the conclusion of the Nazirite period. So there, it's a clear form of delay. We may have mentioned, and if not, it's appropriate now, that the concept of Baal Ta'akhir figures primarily, and we mentioned it when we discussed in our previous year Baal Ta'akhir de Nidorim, where a person is obligated to bring sacrifices that he vows by a certain time. And we mentioned that there are many different opinions as to what that time frame is. One of the common time frames is within the cycle of three holidays, namely that he shouldn't allow three regolim, the three holidays, the three major pilgrimage holidays, to pass without his bringing the sacrifice. That, and if he does, he's guilty of Baal Ta'akhir in general, of korbonus, of nidorim. And in the case of a nozir, upon the conclusion of the nozir period, there are korbonos that are brought. So Rav Acha is saying that the possibility of Baal Ta'akhir is tied into the delay of the haircut that a nozir must take at the end of his nazirus period. And the Gemara is going a step further and saying that it goes without saying, according to the opinion that says that the haircut is a binding factor without which he cannot bring the sacrifices, that there would certainly be a violation of Baal Ta'akhir, because the lack of haircut is going to, in effect, delay the bringing of the sacrifices. Elo afinu lemandomar tiglachas eno ma'akeves. Even according to the opinion that says that the haircut is not a binding or restrictive factor, namely, a person could bring his sacrifices even without taking that haircut. Mitzvas giluach miha lo mekayem. The commandment, the fulfillment of the precept of taking a haircut, he nevertheless is not fulfilling as long as he delays it. So, to present matters simply, according to Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika, the concept of Baal Ta'akhir in the case of Nazirus has to do with the haircut. If we take a look at Rashi, in the upper part of the narrow lines, Rav Acha Omar, my Baal Ta'akhir Ika b'Nazir, what Baal Ta'akhir is there by Nazirus? Ika Baal Ta'akhir de Diglachas. There is the concept of delay of the haircut, the chinafki yamei nazirusei, at the conclusion of the nazirus period, boy legaleach atzmo ulasiy korban. He's expected to take the required nozir haircut and bring sacrifices. V'ima achil tiglachas koi b'baal ta'achir. If he delays the haircut, so he is violating the prohibition of delay. Rashi continues, even according to the opinion that says that the haircut is not a restrictive factor with regard to bringing the sacrifices, even nevertheless, mitzvah liligaleach, there is a fulfillment of a precept in taking the haircut. And by not taking the haircut immediately upon the conclusion of the nozir period, he is thereby delaying the fulfillment of that particular mitzvah. We continue in the next triangle. Mar Zutra Braid Rav Mori Omar Oiver Bebal Tachir Korbanoisov. By raising the question of where do you see Baal Tachir in the context of Nazirus, it has to do very simply with the bringing of the sacrifices that one is required at the conclusion of the Nazir period. The Gemara asks, Umin hocha nafka lei? The idea of Baal Ta'achir by Nazirus, is that learned from over here, from Daf, what we saw in the Brice on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Hekish, the comparison of Nazirus to Nidorim? May hosam nafka lei? The idea of Baal Ta'achir is learned elsewhere. The pasuk says ki dorosh yidrashenu. Before we read further in the Gemara, I'll just glance at the side where we have the pasuk written out. Dvarim perichov gimel pasuk chov beis. The pasuk says ki sidor neder l'Hashem elokecha lo sa'achir l'shamo. When one vows to the Almighty, do not delay in paying or fulfilling it. Ki dorosh yidrashenu l'Hashem elokecha me'imoch. Because the Lord will certainly seek it out from you, and if there is a delay, so one is sinning. So the Gemara is asking once again, do I need the Hekish that we featured on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in the Braisa to reveal Baal Ta'achir? Do I not learn it from this Pasuk? Which said, ki dorosh yidrashenu, and the Gemara continues by saying, elu chatois v'ashamos. That's a reference to the delay of bringing these obligatory sacrifices, a sin offering and a guilt offering. So that from here we learn the prohibition of delay of sacrifices, and not from the hekish between Nazir and Nidorim. So the question simply is, what do I need a special pasuk or a special hekish for when we have this pasuk? The Gemara answers, and note we have a long answer marking. Most of it is actually bracketed. So the brackets you'll see will skip initially. And before we even go further, another point, we have a diamond marking. On the side, we have the Nosei Mivneh heading. Under the Nosei is the topic heading and the Mivneh, the structural note. You'll notice a diamond, Chipus Achar Maya Chidush Yesh B'Korbonos Nozir. We're seeking an explanation of what the Gemara is going to tell us now, that there is an element of novelty, of an unprecedented halacha, a chidush from the word chadash, something new, that you find by sheyesh b'korbanos nazir. So if we can find what the chidush is, bazen nuchal lahavin lama hayotzorich hekish l'lame din bal ta'achir b'korbanos nazir v'le'ocholti l'umoid midin bal ta'achir b'shar korbanos. If I can show you, demonstrate that there's an element of novelty by Nazir, by the Nazir and his korbanos, say, okay, it's an unprecedented area of halacha, and therefore it cannot be the laws, in this case the law of Baal Ta'achir, of do not delay, cannot be derived from, we'll say, conventional sacrifices and that which applies to them. So with this, we can then, just to repeat ourselves, we'll then understand why we have a special hekish from that we saw in on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So now let's see the Gemara. The Gemara answers, why do I need the hekish and I don't learn from Dorosh Yidrashenu? Ma'udetemo chidushu shechidshu Torah b'nozir. I might have thought that with regard to Nozir sacrifices, it is a realm of unprecedented law. And let's skip the brackets. Use your bracket length indicator. Amo lo lavar ole mishum bal tacher. So I might have thought to say then that there is no bal tacher problem when it comes to nozir sacrifices. Komash malon, I need the hekesh to tell me that even though by the nozir you find an element of chidush, there still applies the standard problem of bal tacher, do not delay in bringing those sacrifices. So now we have a bracketed section that we skipped. The Gemara goes back. We go back to the brackets. Mahu chidush. What is that chidush that requires the special hekish, the special comparison to Nedarim in order to reveal the Isur of Baal Tacher by Nozir? Ilema delo matvisle lechatas Nozir beneder. This is a basic neder concept. We mentioned this at the beginning of the Masichta. If a person were to say, I accept upon myself a chatos nozir, he voluntarily wants to bring the chata, a sin offering that a nozir would bring. Well, does that make Nazirus, and we left out the main thing. If a person were to say that, so he doesn't become obligated. That's what this expression means. The lomatfis lei lechatas nozir b'neder. A person cannot become bound to bring the sin offering of a nozir through a vow. If a person actually accepts Nazirus, so upon the conclusion of the Nazirus, so he brings three sacrifices, a Chatos, an Ola, and a Shlomim. But if a person, just out of the blue, he volunteers, or he vows to bring a Chatos of a Nazir, so it's a meaningless vow. So is that the chidush by Nazirus? Not so. We find that phenomenon elsewhere. Harei chatos chelev shei matfisa beneder v'over b'bal tacher. Chatos chelev is a catch-all phrase for all sin offerings. Chelev is forbidden sections of an animal, forbidden to eat, of course. And if a person does eat chelev unwittingly, he has to bring a sin offering. So the sin offering that is characteristic of all violations in the Torah that would carry with it a kores penalty of done knowingly, when done unwittingly, he brings a chatos. And chatos chelev is just a catch-all phrase for the standard korban chatos. Now, if a person who hasn't sinned at all volunteers to bring a korban chatas, it doesn't get off the ground. He's not bound. And yet, we just saw a couple lines above in the Gemara that the Isser of Baal Ta'achir applies to a standard korban chatas. So that to suggest that the chatas, that the nozir sacrifices are not bound by Baal Ta'achir because of its unprecedented nature, namely the lomat bislei beneder, that's not an example of an unprecedented nature of the nozir. We find by other sin offerings the same phenomenon. It's a matpisa b'neder, and yet there is an isur of baal tacher. Elo, Gemara continues, elo mai chidushe. So what's the novel aspect by the nozir? Salkadai techamina, I would have thought, hoyo v'im omar hareini nozir afilu min chartzon, Havi nozir lakoil, Eimo lo lavrole mishum bal tacher. Komash malon, the hekish then tells me that he is. So now let's go over this again. I would have thought that if a person were to say, I am a nozir from, a nozir means, technically speaking, it means someone who restricts himself. And here he says, I'm going to restrict myself from grape seeds. That, in effect, even though he limits himself in his statement to only grape seeds, Nevertheless, he becomes a nazir regarding all grape products, all grapevine products. Wine, grapes, peels, all things that are edible from a grapevine. So I would have thought that since this partial Nazirus acceptance binds him completely, I would have thought that he's not going to be in violation of Baal Ta'acher. He wouldn't be obligated if he does delay bringing Nazir sacrifices, he would not be considered in violation. Komash Malon, therefore I need the Hekish to Nidorim from that we saw on Daf Gimel Omen Aleph in the Brisa to tell me that nevertheless he is in violation. Let's just take a look at Rashi. If anyone feels uncomfortable with this particular approach, it's very reasonable to feel uncomfortable. You will see the Gemara raises a number of questions on this. But in the meantime, we look at Rashi on the first line under the Gemara. Hayuvim Omar Hareini Nazir Afilu Mechatzin Klomar. Dafilu Bechatzin Bilvad Heziratzmo Havi Nazir Nami Lakol. If he had limited his Nazirus acceptance to restriction from seed, grape seed consumption, he nevertheless is a complete Nazir. Dahainu Chidush. This is a novel point. Dilo Nodar Elo Bechatzin Bilvad. He had vowed to restrict himself only from grape seeds. Vafilu Hachi Mitzar Bechol Midi De Meshaker. He nevertheless is restricted from all intoxicating elements, the wine, etc. V'hayil v'chidush hu lo leikum oleba bal ta'acher ki b'shar kobonas. Since Nazirus has this unique element that a mere partial acceptance binds you to all aspects, maybe he shouldn't be guilty of bal ta'acher if he delays the bringing of those sacrifices. Komash v'lan ha-hekish t'koyba bal ta'acher. The hekish, the comparison in the Torah of Nazir Lahazir to the pasuk of Ki Sidor Neder tells me that he is bound all the same. Well, let's continue in the Gemara. Ha-nicha l'mandomar ki nazir min chartzen avi nazir l'kol. This approach in describing the chidush of Nazirus works only according to one of two opinions, namely the opinion that says that when you make a limited Nazirus vow, you are thereby bound to all elements of Nazirus. Elo le Rabbi Shimon diomer ein nazir ad shiozer mikulon ma'iko lememar. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that says if you're going to start enumerating aspects of Nazirus, you're going to have to enumerate every aspect. And otherwise, you would not be bound to Nazirus. So then, where's the Chiddush? You don't have something unusual by according to Rabbi Shimon. The Ode, and furthermore, and this is probably the problem that bothered everyone that's listening, hi Chiddush, you're describing this this idea of partial acceptance and thereby being bound to the whole thing as an element of novelty, which was going to result in what? In a leniency. It was going to result in telling me that he's not bound to the Isur of Baal Ta'acher. In other words, he wouldn't be in violation. Why do you refer to that as a point of novelty when in effect, l'chumrahu, that is this halacha of partial acceptance resulting in full obligation is in fact a stringency. And as such, it would not be reason for exempting him from Baal Ta'acher. If you see that I'm being stringent with him by saying a mere partial acceptance binds you to the whole deal, so it would follow from that you're also going to be guilty of Baal Ta'acher if you delay. So, we're having difficulty, as you can see, with the approach taken by Mor Zutra Brei Rav Mori, who said that, we should say that, who had suggested that I'm learning from the Hekish, the concept of Baal Ta'acher B'Korbonos, when in fact I have another source for Baal Ta'acher, namely Ki Torosh Yidrushenu. And I haven't found, say, a justification for Baal Ta'achir by Nozir in the context of Korbonus that requires my learning from the Hekesh. We thought that maybe in the case of the Korbonus of a Nozir, there's an element of a Chidush, thereby necessitating the additional source of the Hekesh for Baal Ta'achir, but we haven't discovered that Chidush. Ela my Chidushe. So the Gemara continues, what is the Chidush? What is the unique element of Nozir Korbonus that requires my introducing the Hekesh to serve as a source for Baal Ta'achir? The Saka Daita Chamina, I would have thought without the Hekesh that Hoyel would continue at the top of Omid Beis, the Imgilach al Achas Mishloshton Yotza Lo Laver Ole Bebal Ta'achir. Chomash Malon, so we're telling you that nevertheless there is an Isur of Baal Ta'achir if you delay. So we didn't explain a word though of this. Let's take a look at the Rosh. On the top of the first line of the Rosh commentary here on Omid Beis, V'imgilach al achas mishloshten yotza. We mentioned in passing earlier that a nozir at the conclusion of his nazirus brings three sacrifices, a chatos, an ola, and a shlomim. At the conclusion of the nazirus period, he takes a haircut and he thereby becomes permitted once again to resume the drinking of wine, etc. So the Rosh continues, if a person had taken a haircut based on the bringing of only one of the three required korbanos, he has fulfilled his basic obligation or basic requirement, umutur lishtos yayin ulitame lemesim. He then can resume the standard lifestyle of drinking wine, and if he wants to defile himself to that, he's allowed to. V'yashlim korbanosav, and he'll make up the other two korbanos later on. U'mishnei b'perek shlishaminim. So, we continue back in the Gemara. As we said, the chiddush, the element of leniency by Nazirus is, though the Nazir is obligated to bring three sacrifices at the conclusion of his Nazirus, nevertheless, by bringing even one of the three sacrifices, he thereby enables himself to resume the regular lifestyle. So that's a type of leniency that you find in Nazirus. And since you have that leniency, I might have thought that he wouldn't be in violation of Baal Ta'achir if he delays bringing Nazir sacrifices. Komash Malon, therefore I need the Hekesh to tell me that there is going to be a violation of Baal Ta'achir if he delays in bringing those sacrifices. V'boy esemo, my chidush, another approach to what is the chidush by Nozir sacrifices that would have led me to think that there's no Baal Ta'achir. Mishum delo matfisu b'neder. If this sounds familiar, or deja vu, you're not imagining anything. It's reality. We've said this before. You might say that the chiddush is that you can't obligate yourself outside the context of actual nazirus in bringing nazir sacrifices. And if you'll ask, well, that's not a chiddush by nazir sacrifices, you can't obligate yourself in bringing any sin offering. It's not a voluntary type sacrifice. And yet there is Baal Ta'achir. Still, Chatas Chelev Kasi L'Chapora. The Chatas Chelev comes for atonement. And since it comes for atonement, so therefore it's not something that you, therefore, since it comes for atonement, that's reason enough, even though you can't obligate yourself in bringing it, since the person needs the atonement for the sin that he had committed, he'll be guilty of Baal Ta'achir. If we look in Rashi, Asi L'Chapora, Dahai, tzorich kapora mishum chelif shochal. He needs the atonement because of the cup, because of the chelif that he ate. The cave of the kapora koasi koi ba tachir. And since he requires the atonement, it stands to reason that he'll be guilty of Baal Tachir, even though you're talking about a sacrifice that he can't obligate himself in general to bring. Avol Nazir lo ovid shum chet de leboy kapora, but the Nazir, he didn't do any sin that requires atonement. So therefore, the Chatas Nazir really stands out on its own. It's a separate type of sacrifice, leading me to think that since I can't obligate myself out of the blue to bring a Chatas Nazir, maybe there's no Baal Tachir in delaying, in an actual Nazir delaying such a sacrifice. The Gemara responds, is that really a Chiddush by the Nazir, that it's a non-Kapora sacrifice? A woman who gives birth, at the conclusion, after she gives birth, she is obligated by the Torah to bring a sin offering, which is called a chatas yoledes. Yoledes is a woman who gave birth. Now, the chatas yoledes, she gave birth to a child. What a wonderful thing that is. It's not coming for sin atonement. And yet, it is also included in the violation of Baal Tachir. So how does Chatas Nazir, which is likewise a non-atonement type offering, how is it a Chiddush? Where do we find uniqueness by the Chatas Nazir? The Gemara answers, nevertheless, the Chatas Yoledes is different than the Chatas Nazir. Hahi, the Chatas Yoledes Koshayla Lamechal Bekotchim. A woman who gives birth enters a realm of a type of defilement. And the defilement that she experiences restricts her from eating sacrificial meat. In order for her to be able to resume eating sacrificial meat, she, this woman who recently gave birth, she has to bring her chatas yoledes. And as long as she doesn't bring it, she's restricting herself from eating sacrificial meat. And that delay is something that is we can understand would result in the prohibition of Baal Tachir. You'll say, what's the problem here? What's so bad if she delays herself in eating sacrificial meat? You can see this in the Mephorshim, you see this in the Tosfos on the first wide line of the Tosfos commentary underneath the Ran. He points out that the eating of sacrifices is related to atonement, to providing atonement. So that if a woman delays in bringing the Chatas Yoledes, she's delaying the fulfillment of that mitzvah of eating sacrifices. So therefore, the Isur of Baal Ta'achir is applicable. However, by a Nozir, you don't have that element of delaying the mitzvah of eating Kachim. And therefore, I don't see why there should be Baal Ta'achir. I don't have any precedent for a sacrifice like that. The Chatas Nazir, which is, again, non-sin related, and non-delay of mitzvah related. Why should there be Baal Tachir? I wouldn't have known that there is. Therefore, I need a special source, namely the Hekish that we saw between Nazirus and Nidorim, to tell me that even by a Chatas, even by the Korbonus of a Nazir, there is a violation of Baal Tachir if he delays in bringing those sacrifices at the conclusion of his Nazirus. Before we continue in the Gemara, you notice we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a topic heading. Lomo bo'inon hekesh kedei lumoi da'av mefer Nazirus bito. The Gemara will open with a quote from the Tanaic source that we saw back on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, in which we saw a comparison between Nazirus and Nedarim regarding this topic, that a father can mefir, can absolve his daughter of a Nazirus vow. Why do we need a hekesh, which is a special form of deriving laws from Psukim in the Torah, where based on an oral tradition that we received from Sinai, that different things in the Torah that are found in juxtaposition with one another are to be compared, which is called a special tradition? Why do I need to, let's say, employ that special tradition that we refer to as hekesh for lo maspik limud shel ma motzinu? And why is it not sufficient to use, we'll say, a logical comparison, which doesn't necessitate a special oral tradition, but rather applying logic? Ma motzinu is just the beginning of a phrase, meaning ma motzinu, just like we find particular elements by topic A, we should find similar elements by topic B because of their similarity, because of the other similarities between topic A and topic B. What we find by topic A, we should apply likewise to topic B. That's called ma motzinu, or also an expression that is related to that is binyan av, a precedent setter. Why not learn the laws of father absolving his daughter from a nazirus vow based on the precedent we find that fathers in general have the right to absolve their daughters from general vows? So now let's turn to the Gemara. Omar Mar. A quote from Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Uma nidorim ho'av mefer nidre bito, ubal mefer nidre ishto. We learn from the hekesh between nidorim and nazir that a father absolves his daughter's nazir vows, and a husband absolves his wife's, daughter's general neder vows, and a baal, a husband, absolves his wife of general nedarim. Af nazirus, through the hekesh, we learn similarly to, likewise by nazirus. So, av mefer nazirus bito, ubal mefer nazirus ishto. That's the quote from the source. In other words, the hekesh is the basis of father slash husband absolving the daughter slash wife of their nazirus vows. Lomali hekesha. Why do I have to activate or employ the hekesh method? Tesi b'ma motzinu b'medorim. Why not learn through the ma motzinu method of learning, which is simply applying logic? Maybe in simplistic terms, the question is, why do we have to bring in, we'll say, the heavy guns, the big guns of a hekesh limud, when on our own as human beings, we're entitled to apply logic when it's so self-evident, so obvious? Why then do we need the hekesh? The Gemara answers, Dilma Gabi Nidorim Hu de Mefer. It could be that in general vows, we say the husband or the father has the power of absolving the daughter and wife's Nidorim. Why? Mishum de lo is le kitsutza. They don't have a fixed time frame. Kitsutza means something that's fixed deadline, a point of finality. Avol gabi nazirus isle kitzutza distam nazirus shloishim yoim. As opposed to nazirus, the nazirus vow is something that that even without specifying the length of time, there is an understood end period, meaning stam nazirus, an unqualified nazirus vow, obligates a person to 30 days. So there's a definite end time to it. Amolo, I might have thought to say that the father or husband don't have the power to absolve those vows. We might have said, let the daughter or the wife that vowed it be bound to it. It's going to end anyway after 30 days. So why should the father or husband be able to absolve them? Chomash Malon, therefore the Hekish tells me that by Nozir as well, not just in general vows, with regard to general vows, but by Nozir as well, a father and husband have the power to absolve the wife and daughter from the vows, just like we find by Nidorim. But notice, you see that we're not working on the basis of a logical comparison, a ma'amotzinu or a binyanav method of learning, because that requires absolute similarity. We just pointed out there isn't absolute similarity. And therefore, in order to nevertheless say that that there still is father or husband absolution powers, we need to come on to the Sinai method of learning, the Hekish method. Ho'imer l'chavero mudur ani v'chulei. The Gemara is characterized by a new marking. You notice on the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. And by the way, if anyone is interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, and also indicate that this structure is going to continue down to the end of Daf Hei Omid Aleph. The house marking represents shlovim. These are stages. B'chdei lahovim divrei Shmuel. Shomar b'kulon ad shiyomar shiani yoicheloch. In the Mishnah, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, mention was made, ha'omer l'chavero, mudrani mimcha, mufreshai mimcha, different expressions that were in the realm of yodois nedarim, partial expressions. Shmuel says that in all of those partial expressions, he has to until he says Shani Oichelach. That statement of Shmuel requires some clarification. In order to understand what Shmuel is saying in the Gemara, you'll notice, as we mentioned, there are these house markings. It's beneficial for one to try to scan ahead just to get a bird's eye view, noticing the length of this discussion carrying us down till the end of Hayom and Aleph. In effect, there'll be four stages in trying to figure out what Shmuel is saying in our Gemara. So we turn to the Gemara. Ha'omer l'chaver mudor ani v'chulei. Omar Shmuel b'kulon ad shiyomer shani oicheloch or shani toyem loch. At face value, Shmuel is saying that the Mishnah, which features a vow whereby someone is prohibiting himself from let's say, prohibiting his friend from benefiting, A says to B that I don't want you to benefit from me. So he says, Mudrani Mimcha, I am restricting benefiting you. And Shmuel then says that in and of itself is of no consequence unless he adds the phrase Shani Oichelach. So the Mishnah would then be saying as follows, Mudrani Mimcha Shani Oichelach. You'd have to have a complete phrase. The Gemara is going to challenge that. And we continue in the Gemara, Meisvei. This is a quote from the Mishnah. We should say this is a Tanaic quote. We're going to refer to this as the Reisha from our Mishnah. Meisvei, Mudor Ani Mimcha, Mufroshani Mimcha, Miruchokani Mimcha. Just a correction. This is you'll see that the text here is not exactly the same as the Mishnah. It's a Tanaic source, but at this point, after these three phrases are featured, which you do find in the Mishnah as well, but here this Tanaic source says, Hare ze oser, that by saying, Mudar ani mimcha, the neder, the vow, takes hold. Shani oichaloch, shani toyemloch, Hare ze oser. Likewise, by using the phrase Shani Oichaloch or Shani Toimloch, the vow takes hold. So what's the question? Shmuel said that the expression of Mudor Ani Mimcha in and of itself is meaningless unless you add Shani Oichaloch. By reading this Tanaic source, which we refer to the Resha of a Tanaic source, the first part of this source, you see that by saying Mudor Ani Mimcha alone, the vow takes hold. Answer. Hachi katoni. Bamed vamumurim. When does Mudor ani mimcha take hold? Be'oimer shani oichaloch or shani toyemloch. It takes hold only if you add that phrase. So that at this point, Shmuel's teaching is maintained. That if you say just Mudor ani mimcha, it's not of any consequence. The Gemara asks, "V'hotanya ibcha," but we have a brisa that reads in an opposite fashion, as follows: "Shani toyemloch, shani oicheloch, shani toyemloch, aser mudrani mimcha, umafroshani mimcha, miruchokani mimcha, hareze aser." So, what do we see here? We see that the phrase Shani Oichaloch by itself is a binding vow. And in terms of the order of things in this Tanaic source, you can see that as opposed to the original section that we'll call the Resha, as opposed to there where Mudor Ani Mimcha was featured at the beginning of the source, here in this source you have the beginning of it reading Shani Oichaloch, which we found in the previous section at the end of the source. So does this not show that the expression Mudrani Mimcha stands on its own? The Gemara answers Tani Hachi. Regarding this last source, you know how you should understand it? Ukvar Omar Mudrani. In order for Shani Oichaloch to take hold, he would have had to already have said beforehand, Mudrani Ani Mimcha. If that's the case, so then Shmuel is still okay. That for Mudrani Mimcha to take hold, you have to include Shani Oichaloch. The Gemara asks, how can you say that? Ihachi hainu resha. If that's the case, then this second Tanaic source is the same as that which we labeled before as resha, as the first Tanaic source. Namely, both are saying the same thing, that Mudar ani mimcha will have no effect unless you say Shani oicheloch. What do I need two sources to say the same thing? V'oid, and furthermore, aser lomali lemisni, if these phrases are interdependent, then why in the source, you'll notice how we dashed, underlined the word aser, if you just look back 3 and 4 lines ago, the source had read, Shani oichaloch, or Shani toimach, aser. That alone creates prohibition. Likewise, mudrani mimchor, or the other phrases, hareza aser. That alone creates a prohibition. If the phrases were interdependent, namely, you'd have to state both phrases before activating a vow, so what do I need the word usser appearing in the middle of the source? Elo Omar Shmuel. So Shmuel explains, Taimo de Omar Shani Oicheloch Shani Toimloch. Who the aser v'chaveru muter? So now we have a new understanding of Shmuel, an altogether new understanding. What Shmuel said regarding the necessity of Shani Oichel Loch, it's not saying that Mudrani Mimcha alone wouldn't take hold. No, we're saying that if you say Mudrani Mimcha or Meruchokani Mimcha and add the phrase Shani Oichel Loch, then Hu De'Aser V'Chavero Mutter. Then it's a one-sided prohibition where I cannot benefit from you, but you can benefit from me. Aval, we continue at the top of Hey Omer Aleph. Aval Omar Mudrani Heimoch L'chudei, if you used that phrase by itself, Shnehen Asurim, then both parties are Asur. A cannot benefit from B, and B cannot benefit from A. That the speaker is restricting himself from benefiting from his friend, and also he is prohibiting his friend from benefiting from himself, the speaker. So that at this point, the Tanaic sources before, for example, where it says on the Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, we saw a Tanaic source where it says Mudrani Mimcha, Mufroshani Mimcha, and it said Hareza Asur. Yes, that phrase Mudrani Heimach or Mimcha, that would result in a vowel by itself without the additional Shani Oicholach phrase. What is the effect of saying Mudrani Heimach by itself? The effect of that is a two-way prohibition. And what was Shmuel then telling me? Shmuel was telling me that if you want it to be a one-sided prohibition, whereby I cannot benefit from you, but you could still benefit from me, that would be accomplished if you say, Mudrani Mimcha She'ani Ochaloch. The Gemara goes on to say that this presentation of Shmuel is a parallel or akin to a teaching that we hear in the name of Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. On the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note, and here we point out Shnei Shlovim Bahavonas Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is going to tell us something, and we're going to go through two stages in trying to understand what he says. HaGemara HeVi'oi Kidei Lahamid Eshmuel Kemoisoi. The Gemara structure here is a very very interesting structure. The Gemara is bringing in Rabbi Yossi Chanina to enable us to say that Shmuel's teaching parallels Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Aval b'sof ha-mahalach, acharei she-mazbirim es Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina b'tzura delo cholek al ha-mishneh, ne'elotzim la-hazbir Shmuel b'tzura shelo yeh cholek al Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. This is a little, hard to appreciate until we go through the actual Gemara, but what's going to happen is that after we gain a new understanding of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, we're going to have to then go back to explain Shmuel in such a way that he will not be at odds with the new understanding of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So what the Gemara is saying now is that Shmuel is aligned with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's teaching. However, just to repeat ourselves, as we go on in clarifying Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, we're going to then have to realign or restate Shmuel in such a way that he is not going to be at odds with the new understanding, the later understanding of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Therefore, when you continue looking at the superstructure of this Gemara, you notice that in the second half of this Amud, we're going back to Shmuel with the house marking number 3 and eventually house marking number 4. So we continue with the Gemara, and we're going to, because of the fact that we're in the midst of a sugya, it would not be to our benefit, even though within the Daf Yomi context we're spilling over onto Daf Hey Amud Aleph, but it's for our ultimate benefit. So we continue with the Gemara. We're saying that Shmuel's din is by adding the phrase shani ochelach to the opening mudrani mimcha, the nether becomes only one-sided. One-sided, it's a non-restrictive form, where only one party is usher. Kiha diomar Rav Yosef Hanina, mudrani heimach, shneim asurim. Just like Rav Yosef Hanina says at this point, that one who says mudrani heimach, both are usher. Why? Because he said just that, he didn't add shani oichelach. Tanan, and now we're going to bring Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanan into question. It probably can be assumed that by bringing Rabbi Yossi Chanan into question, we're in effect going to be bringing Shmuel's din into question, and that's going to necessitate the re-understanding of Shmuel later on as well. So what do we see here? Tanan, Hareini Alecha Chirim. We've seen the word cherim back in the Mishnah, Daf Beis. It's an expression of prohibition. It's a form of vow taking, as we saw earlier. So a person says hareini olecha cherim, hamudar aser aval madir lo. This is in effect a one-sided vow where where A says to Mr. B, Hareini Alecha Cherem, that the result of that would be that B cannot benefit from A, but the speaker, the Madir, can benefit from B. Now, what's the point for us, without focusing too much on the technical grammar and language, what we see here, though, is the one-sided prohibition emerges even without the additional Shani Oichelach phrase. So that's a problem for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara answers, Kagon deporish ve'at olai lo. In order for this Tanaic source to be accurate, namely Hamudr Osir Amadir lo, you'd have to add ve'at olai lo. So the original neder would be Hareini Alecha Cherem. I am unto you a prohibition, but at olai lo, you unto me are not prohibited. You have to spell it all out. But if you would leave it just as hareini olecha cherem without an additional clause, in fact, both would be usur, just like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina suggested. Question: V'at was at olai cherem. Hano der oser, avo mudar lo. Here you see a partial, very short phrase, at olai cherem, and you see it's one-sided, without a complete phrase. For example, at olai cherem she ani oichelach. You don't have that over here, and even without the additional clause, it remains one-sided. So the Gemara answers, Kagon deporish v'ano alecha lo. In order for the no there to be usher, for the speaker to be usher, meaning atolai cherim, that B is usher unto A, the A being the speaker, and in the other direction, no prohibition, that B can in fact, that B can benefit from A, he'd have to spell it all out. And how would it read? At olai cherem, you unto me are forbidden, but I unto you, ano alecha lo. Avostam omai, let's say it wasn't spelled out, you just had the partial phrase, then what would the result be? Shnehen asurim, both would be also, it would be a two-way prohibition. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina had originally said. The Gemara asks, if that's what you're going to say, but Hami de Katani Seifa, the continuation of the Tanaic source says, Hareini Olecha V'at Olai Shneim Asurin. How do you create a two-way prohibition? By spelling it all out. Hodein hu d'shneim asurim. Only if you say this, namely, harein yolecho v'at olai, you spell it all out, then both are prohibited. Ha stama. But if he would have just said a partial phrase, for example, harein yolecho cherem, what's the result? Hu asur v'chaveru muter. Then it remains one-sided. So is that not a problem for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said that by saying Mudrani Heimach, we'll say a partial phrase, both sides are usher. Both the speaker, the initiator, and his friend. From here, though, we see, no, that if you leave just as a partial phrase, it's not two-sided. It doesn't result in a two-sided prohibition. Ela hachi itmar. So how are we going to we have to understand Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina in light of these questions. Ela hachi itmar de Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Thusly, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, Mudar ani lach, shnehem asurin. If you use that expression, Mudar ani lach, both are asur. If you say Mudrani Hemoch, hu asur v'chavero muter. So this is a new understanding of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, whereby we see that in fact a partial expression like Mudrani Hemoch, it's only one side is asur. And that is what we saw in the Tanaic sources above. When will both be usher if you use a different expression, namely, Mudar Ani Loch? The Gemara asks, Vaha Masnisin Dekotoni Hemoch. But our Mishnah uses the expression Hemoch. Ve'ukimno limasnisen lishmuel, and we had explained the Mishnah according to Shmuel at the end of Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Bekulon at shiyomar shani toyein loch v'shani oichel loch hu diaser v'chaver muter. If you want something to be one-sided, you'd have to add the phrase shani oichel loch. But the phrase Mudrani Hemoch by itself, Shnehem Asurim. In fact, you see this at the very top line of this Omid of Hey Omid Aleph, that the Mudrani Hemoch expression by itself, both would be Asur. So this is a problem then for Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Ella, in order to extricate ourselves from this problem, we go back to the drawing board. Mi kara de Shmuel hachi itmar. The original teaching of Shmuel is rather as follows. So that with this, we'll say this restatement of Shmuel. This is stage 3. The question that we just raised on Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, will fall away. So, if we can remove the question on Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, he's going to end up saying that if you say Mudrani Hemoch, it in fact is a one-sided vowel prohibition. So, what did the original Shmuel statement say? Taimo di Omar shani oichel loch v'shani toyem loch. Hu dien hu asur elo ba'achila. Shmuel, when he originally appeared on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah had said Omer lechaver mudar ani loch, and then Shmuel says it will be a vow if he adds shani oichel loch. What's the result of saying shani oichel loch? You know what the result is. The result is that there's an iser, there's a prohibition only of eating. Ha mudrani mimcha, However, if he would have said Mudrani Mimcha alone, then Aser Afilu Bahana, then the restriction is not only eating, but it's a restriction of all benefit. So the original Shmuel teaching is not dealing with numbers. Who is Aser? Is it a two-way prohibition or a one-sided prohibition? Shmuel's not dealing with that at all. Shmuel is saying that if you add the phrase Shani Oichiloch to an opening of Mudrani Hemoch, then the result is an eating restriction alone. But other forms of benefit would be allowed. As far as Rav Yossi Bar Bechanina, he wasn't dealing with what's prohibited, but rather he was dealing with numbers. How many are prohibited? Is it one-sided or two-sided? Ihachi, Lema Shmuel Hachi, if this in fact is what Shmuel is trying to say, then he should have said it as follows. The im lo amar she'ani oichelach v'shani tayim loch. If a person would have said, namely Mudrani Mimcha, like we saw in the Mishnah, without adding Shani Oichelach v'shani tayim loch, Aser Afilu Bahana, then the Isser would be broad-ranging. It would be including all forms of benefit. Well, Shmuel didn't say that. He didn't phrase himself like that. Ela hachi itmar. So rather, thusly Shmuel is saying, Taima domar shani ocheloch v'shani toim loch hu de'oser. By saying Mudrani mimcha shani ocheloch, you create prohibition. Avol omar mudrani hemoch. If you were to say just mudrani hemoch, lo mashma di omar oser. That doesn't imply any prohibition whatsoever. My taima, why not? Mudrani mimcha means lo mishto'ino bahadoch mashma. By that phrase alone, Mudrani ani mimcha or Mudrani hemoch, that implies only, I'm not going to be speaking with you. Mufroshani mimcha, another phrase that we saw in the Mishnah, delo avidno imoch masu matan mashma. I'm not going to do business with you. Mufroshani means I'm separated from you, meaning I'm not going to do business with you. Miruchokani mimcha, all that phrase would imply delo ki'imno bedalet amos diloch mashma, that I'm not going to be standing within your four amos. But as far as, benefit prohibition or eating prohibition, that isn't implied by any of these phrases, namely Mudrani Mimcha, or Mufreshani Mimcha, or Meruchokani Mimcha. Only if you add the clause of Shani Ochaloch, then we see an actual eating prohibition. But if you don't mention eating explicitly, these partial phrases would not imply any eating prohibition. So after all is said and done, at this point in the Gemara, then, what is Shmuel's original point? That the original point is that the phrases that we saw in the Mishnah, Mudrani Mimcha, Mufreshani Mimcha, Meruchokani Mimcha, if you don't add the clause of Shani Ochaloch, those phrases on their own would imply something else, as the Gemara just enumerated. But as far as a prohibition of eating, that's not implied by the phrase Mudrani Hemoch. And as far as Rav Yossi Bar Chanina that we saw earlier on the page, he wasn't dealing with, the content of these phrases, but rather how many are prohibited by these phrases. And the result above was, if you say Mudar Ani Loch, that's a two-way prohibition, and if you say Mudrani Hemoch, that results in a one-sided prohibition. Of course, you can see we've spilled over very significantly as far as the Daf Yomi context. but it was quite necessary in order to get the complete picture of Shmuel without breaking this up into two separate shiurim. Mitzvah Shem, in the next shiur, the Gemara is going to focus on, again, Shmuel's teaching, but not so much the text of it, but rather a principle that is associated with this particular approach. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.